Genesis 24. I mentioned last week about looking at the topic of ascertaining God's will, and I thought we'd take a quick look at that today. And just to clear up some things that, you know, there's a few records in the Word of God that might cause trouble sometimes along those lines. So we'll look at those today, and look at the topic of ascertaining God's will. How do people get God's will? And there's a lot of misunderstanding about that in the world, in life, and I've heard, you know, I'm sure we've all heard it. A lot of times people request signs, and that's sort of the area that I want to look at today. They look for signs to understand God's will. And people will say things like, well, if this happens, then that was God's will. Or they'll say, oh, all these things are happening, this must be God's will. And, you know, those kinds of things. And I want to look at that today. Some determine God's will themselves, and they ask later for God to bless that which they have determined to be His will. That's another look at God's will. And the whole thing is generally in the world tends to be pretty mystical and unclear and unbiblical a lot of times. So, you know, I want to just look at a couple of records today for that. We pretty much, you know, try to keep it pretty simple in terms of how to understand God's will. You know, I'm thankful, grateful, we're praying for the manifestations. Number one, the Word of God, the Bible. We know the Word of God is the will of God. And it starts here with the Word of God. And us understanding what the Word of God says and knowing it, reading it, thinking about it, memorizing it, speaking it one to another, you know, and meditating on it, and all the things that we know we ought to do with God's Word to know God's will. And if we don't even know what the Word of God says, you know, we're going to be certainly lost. And that's probably, by and large, the main reason for the world being that way, because they don't know what the Word of God says. And beyond the Word of God, you know, having the confidence to hear from God when required, to be confident in operation of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, to be bold and confident with those things. And then word of knowledge, we know, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the three revelation manifestations, which regular use, regularly asking God for understanding and using those manifestations to receive and understand the things that God would have us to know on a regular basis. These are not supposed to be once-in-a-lifetime occurrences. Now, they're things that God has given to us to use daily. You know, faith, miracles, healing, as well the impartation manifestation, all nine. It's the walk of the nine manifestations is God's way. You know, five of them are specifically designed to give you information. And so if you want information, there's five manifestations God gave to give us information. Interpretation of tongues, comfort, edification. Prophecy, comfort, and edification, building us up. And the three revelation manifestations are designed specifically to provide information. So there's no lack of places to get God's will for us. And so it should be very clear. It doesn't get any more complicated than that in life. Those are the ways we know what God's will is. Those are the way we ascertain God's will. And Genesis 24 is an interesting record about Abraham. We'll look at a few little part of this. And I want to consider a couple of records today just to maybe clarify, which may not be clear. But in this record, Abraham's servant is asked to go and get a wife for Abraham's son. And when he gets to the place where he's about to get, you know, get the woman to go back with him, he says in verse 13 of Genesis 24, he says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give the camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." You know, it would seem to be that this man, the servant of Moses, of Abraham, is asking for a sign from God. He's asking. And, well, let's just go back up a little bit and see why he could say what he said. and see if it doesn't line up with what our understanding of ascertaining God's will is. This is an important topic because even believers, even we ourselves, can sometimes get caught up in the idea of, well, if something good happens, it was a sign from God. Or, you know, if something bad happens, and you got to be very, very careful. We can never lose sight of just, you know, how simple it is for us to know God's will and for us not to get caught up in the mysticism and uncertainty of life. So let's see, was there uncertainty here and unclear things going on that the servant was a part of? In Genesis 24, verse 1, and I'll get there once I go back to having closed my Bible here. Verse 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in years, age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had," so he was a steward, "that I put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Well, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again." No, don't do that, he said. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again." The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, the Eastern custom of making an agreement, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He was the steward. He was controlling all of Abraham's goods. Didn't have to even ask. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham." And then he asks for this thing to happen. You know, if you look at that record, there are some very, very clear indications of what's going on. The first indication is that, is the servant a believer, first of all? Quite obviously. And you'll see that if you read the rest. We're not going to read the whole record, but he thanks God all along the way, and when God prospers him, he bows down and is thankful to God. But the key, in this record, as you might understand, is verse 7. He said that the Lord God of heaven, where did I do something?
That's verse 7.
Yeah, I'm just reading back here. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the hand of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give his land, he," says, "shall send his angel before thee." So, if you think about what is happening with this servant, when he goes to Laban's household, and he says this before the, well, let it be this woman, is he trying to ascertain God's will?
No.
No. What is God's will in the matter? Well, Abraham just told him that you're going to get a wife from my own kindred back in where I came from. You're not going to take my son there, but you're going to get a wife for him. And he says God has shown Abraham what? He has shown him that he's going to send an angel before him. So there's an angel involved in this whole record that is helping to bring to pass what God wants brought to pass. There is absolutely no question what God's will is here. God's will is that this man would get a wife from his kindred. And to help to bring that to pass, he sends an angel along with the man. So if there's an angel involved here, God's will, the man is not saying, "Well, is this your will?" Is he?
No.
All he said was he needed some help. He needed a bit of help to figure out who this woman was. God's will is clear. He sent an angel. He's already answered the prayer. He's already shown Abraham what's going on. And so the man is going to get this. And he says, you know, and he asks God for some help. And God is gracious to him. There's no trying to understand. You know, well, if this happens, then it is the will of God. Then we'll go on our way. Or if it's not, then I'm going to go. No, he just says, let it be he. He knows it. And, you know, and it's interesting. Let's keep reading it. But so let's jump down to verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher. And by the way, speaking of Christmas, it's interesting. Here it says she was a virgin, neither had any man known her. Well, people think the word virgin means that, don't they? But here the virgin is. She's a young woman. Neither had any man known her. In other words, she had never had a baby or a child. I mean, they're very different things. So God, anyway, sorry, for 7. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of that pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for the camels also. That's what he asked. Until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for her all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He didn't say to know whether or not his journey was the will of God. He just said, is it prosperous? And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 braces for her hand, and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor, so a relative of Abraham. And she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. See, he's a believer. Abraham is a believer. God had sent the angel to make sure this was a successful task. All the man said was he needed some help. And so was God. God was gracious to him in helping him. There's nothing here about trying to understand or what God's will is in the matter. It's just a bit of assistance for the man. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 is the next one. Whereas, you know, a lot of times people will say things like, well, you know, if all the lights on Carling Avenue are green, 5 in a row, then I know that God has blessed this. You know, I've heard that so many times, you know, from people, not about Carling, but because I assure you, the lights on Carling are never green 5 in a row. Anyway, but people will say things like, you know, I just felt like God's will. You know, things just worked out. That's God's will. Well, you know, if we're so unclear about God's will, right? We have a very weak God. Not a very powerful God, if he can't be very, very clear what his will is for our lives. And I hear it way too often in Christian circles where they'll say things like that, you know. Judges chapter 6 is one that I just heard recently being used for that very purpose, and we'll look at it again. In Judges 6, and we're going to read the last 4 verses to start. This is obviously about Gideon. And I'm in Joshua. I was like, that doesn't sound like Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Did I say Joshua or Judges?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said Judges.
Okay, I said Judges, but I went to Joshua. Okay. Well, they both begin with J. Close. Okay, Judges 6, 36. This is near the end when Gideon needed a bit of help. And it says, Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece of bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground that there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So he asked God for these two signs to help him. You know, and when I was listening to this teaching, the man had said that, well, you know, you put out your fleece to determine the will of God, to see what the will of God is. And this is the record that was used. And we have to go back to the beginning here in Judges 6:1. You could go back to Genesis 1, but Judges 6:1, and to just see a little bit about, you know, very clearly what was going on here. In Judges 6:1, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. Pretty, you know, a lot of destruction. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So they're in a pretty bad state. And it came to pass, verse 7, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So he's telling the reason why this has happened. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was an Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abiezerite, and his son Gideon, their threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. So he's threshing wheat in a wine press, which is, you know, dug into the ground, so no one can watch. He's not, you know, he's afraid of these people, so he's hiding in a wine press and threshing wheat. And the angel appears to him. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord be with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Hiding in a wine press. But he called him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And ever asked that question? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midian. Pretty bad state. You can see why he's afraid. He's not trusting God. He's kind of hiding. And the Lord looked upon him, verse 14, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So, what has God made known to Gideon at this point? He has made known to him that he's going to save Israel. Now what he said? Yeah. Now, Gideon, as we see, doesn't really believe it yet. Okay. Verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. How am I going to do this? And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Like, is God's will at all unclear here? Like, did he say to him, you know, there's a really good chance that I'm probably going to be with you. But there's also the chance that I might not be. Let's see what happens. No, it's nothing like that. He says, look, I'm going to be with you. And you are going to destroy the Midianites as one man. That's what's going to happen. So the will of God is very clear, is it not? Is there anything that Gideon does here in order to determine what the will of God is? So far, nothing. God's there. You know, mighty man of valor, let's go. You're going to deliver Israel as one man. And I am going to be with you. Okay. Verse 17. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou art king. This is the angel. Come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour with the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the yoke and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, look, peace be unto thee, you're not going to die. You know, he was, you know, Gideon, as you see through this record, needs help, doesn't he? He needs help because, I mean, if you were told that you are going to deliver an entire nation out of the hands of a nation that is way bigger than you are and has already destroyed everything in sight, you just might need a little bit of help. Right. Well, Gideon does. Verse 20, but Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet an Oprah of the Abirites. And it came to pass the same night the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. So it's not like his lineage has really helping him to believe, is it? His father is a Baal worshiper. So he's saying, okay, you're going to go destroy your father's idol, the idol of Baal, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and it was so because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, and that he could not do it by day, he did it by night. You see, he needs a little help. All along the way here, are you sure? How am I going to do this? He's in the wine press. And guys, okay, here we go. Here's the angel. And then he says, okay, destroy this. Okay, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it by night. You see, Gideon needs help. But did he do it?
Yes.
He did. Is there anything here yet that he's asking God, what's your will?
No.
Nothing. There's nothing he said here that says, God, do it. I want you to do this so I can understand what your will. His will, God's will is clear right from day one, is it not? Nothing about trying to ascertain God's will that he's doing any of this. Verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said to one another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, that they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. I love their answer here. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? I love it. Your God needs you to protect him? You're going to plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. For if he is a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Right? He says, let him plead for Baal. If Baal is such a strong god, why does he take care of himself? Right? Why does he need you guys? Verse 32. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, or Jerubbaal, because saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, and here's the section read, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And then he asks God for help. He's getting there. You see, he's slowly getting there. And he calls all the, you know, the tribes to come and help. And then he asks for the fleece. Now, is the fleece put out to understand what God's will is?
No.
No. It's not, is it? He says, look, I need a little bit of help. And what does God do? God answers his request to help him to believe. To help him to believe the will, his will, that he has already abundantly made clear multiple times throughout the entire record. So, is it the same as us saying, well, God, if you want me to do this, then let it snow tomorrow morning? No. It's not all like that. It was God being gracious, just like he was gracious to Abraham's servant in Genesis 24, or unto Abraham his master. He's being gracious to Gideon and to the Israelites to help this man to rise up and believe that which he had already told him very, very clearly multiple times. And that's all it is. So, you know, it's not that case of, well, let's determine what the will of God is. By, you know, if this happens, then it's A. If this happens, B. It's up. No, we have the Word of God. We have word of knowledge. We have word of wisdom. We have discerning of spirits. We already have very, very clear. And if we can't understand God's will, or he can't get through to us, then he's a very weak God. And I shudder even thinking or making that statement, because we know he's not. Right? And we're going to close in Matthew chapter 9. Another little record in the Gospels, which may cause trouble sometimes. See, we can never be uncertain or unclear about the will of God for our lives. You know, if he can get through to men like Balaam, prophet as crooked as anybody, or he can get through by a donkey speaking to this man, or he can get through by writing on a wall to a very evil king, or whatever is required, there's never any question about God's ability to make his will known. There's never a question of that. There's never a question of that in our lives. Right? And I often say, you know, if a person says, was that God? I always say, no, it wasn't. Because if it was, you darn well would know it was him. There's no mysticism, there's no uncertainty of life. You know, if you're not sure, then you know, you better, you know, seek his face and ask to be sure, because God is certain, it is sure. It's not some kind of, well, if it be thou, if all this kind of nonsense. It's not like that. And that's not the record we have of him in his word. From Genesis to Rev, we don't have this. Very clear. The times you see people screwing up is when the will of God is clear and they openly and actively oppose it. They do that. We see that a lot of time, but that's not God's fault. He got his message through. He made it clear. Right? Here in Matthew 9, verse 18, it says, while he spake these things, this is Jesus Christ, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, how can she determine and just say this? I'm going to touch, I'm going to be whole. How can she do that? How dare she do that? You know? Verse 22, then Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You know, It's almost like you say, well, you know, I'm deciding I'm going to do this, and this is going to happen. Well, how can she do that? Well, look at Matthew 8, one chapter back. Verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. In Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Luke chapter 4. And again, these are just a couple of places, but I'm sure you know many others. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth when he had been brought up, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had sent anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." See, the word of God, God's will regarding Jesus Christ, was abundantly clear, was it not? What did it say? They could go back to Isaiah 53 and read what God's will concerning Jesus Christ was. And the will concerning Jesus Christ was that by him, healing and deliverance was possible. It was available. And it even says, one record in the Gospels, that the power of God was present to heal them. You know, the God's will was very clear. That woman going to Jesus Christ was not saying, if I touch this, it's God's will to heal me. That's not what she was saying. She was saying, if I touch him, I'm going to get healed. Look, if it takes you to say, if I stand on my head and I'm going to believe God's promise, go stand on your head. Do it. Right? If it takes you to, you know, whatever. You know, run through the snow, bare feet for whatever it takes. As long as what you're trying, you and I are trying to do, is believe the will of God that has been clearly made known. Was it clearly made known to that woman? Absolutely. Even he said to her, your believing has made you whole, because you believed on me, and I was sent to deliver people. She wasn't saying, if I do this, it's God's will to heal me. It's nothing like that. God's will is always abundantly clear. He's made it known. You know, there's no mysticism, no mystical thing about if it be so, if it be all that. Nothing like that. You know, in the case of Abraham's servant, clear. I'm sending an angel. You do what I said, you're going to be, and, you know, the man was a believer. Needed a bit of help. God was gracious and helped him to do exactly what he said his will had been. Gideon, very clear, multiple times. We didn't even read, there's another one later that happens as well with him, that to help him. You know, that roll of bread thing. We didn't get that far, but he did many things to help Gideon to accept what his will clearly was at the beginning of the record when he sent his angel to tell Gideon what was going to happen. Gideon needed a little bit of help? Oh, amazing. Our wonderful, loving Father helps us when we need to believe him. You know, it's not an injunction to now go out and lay all kinds of fleeces and set up all your things if this and then that. No, God's will is clear. It's always clear. In the case of the woman, she knew what the will of God was concerning Jesus Christ. She could have read Isaiah. In fact, Jesus Christ confirmed with her, your believing has made you whole. She knew what she was believing. She needed to touch his garment? Touch his garment. Touch his toes. Stick your finger in your ear. Whatever. To believe what is clearly the will of God. And so for us, you know, there's no question. The Word of God is the will of God. We have the revelation manifestations to very, very clearly understand what God's will is for our lives. We don't have to be doing, you know, the kind of things that people in the religious world proclaim need to be done in order to get God's will. It is clearly made known by a God who loves us and takes care of us. So, I hope that's helpful.